I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and this is Up to Date. Kansas City seems to be building its way to an economic recovery, with projects like the redevelopment of Bannister Mall potentially providing 15,000 jobs. This hour, we'll talk with Kansas City Star development reporter Kevin Collison about the spike in residential construction, a possible revamp of the historic Savoy Hotel, and other projects in the metro area. Later, Brian McTavish swings by with the weekend to-do list. It's Up to Date after this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Lots of development going on in Kansas City these days. The Mission Mall project, a renovation of the historic Savoy Hotel, the IKEA store along I-35. But perhaps the most significant of them all is Cerner's decision to convert the old Bannister Mall into an office park that one day could employ 15,000 people. Meantime, residential construction is up 55% compared with last year. When you talk development in Kansas City, we talk to Kevin Collison, who covers it for the Kansas City Star. And Kevin, welcome back. Always good to have you here.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be here.
Let's start with the Cerner project. Just, you know, how big a break is this for Kansas City, given that the old, you know, the long abandoned Bannister Mall has become such a problem for the city, and now that problem's going away?
Well, what's fascinating about this is actually Cerner's second bite at the apple. A few years ago, they were involved in this very ambitious plan to try to do a stadium for the soccer team and a retail project. And then they were always rumored to be in the background as far as being an office tenant. Of course,
at the
Bannister Mall property. Of course, that all failed to gel. They couldn't get the financing, and the market was pretty weak as far as retail goes. So they ended up taking that deal to Wyandotte County,
which is what
we now see.
Village
West, the Sporting Kansas City or Sporting Stadium is a result. Cerner's also got a couple of office buildings out there that they're going to be filling with 4,000 employees. And so people kind of thought, well, there was the best shot for the Bannister Mall property, and it just went over to Western Wyandotte County. Well, thank goodness for everybody. Cerner is a dynamic company. It is expanding rapidly. I think somebody told me the other day they expect to hire another 1,000 people by the end of this year.
Wow.
And
wow.
So they expect to be able to fill up their buildings out in Wyandotte County with the 4,000 new jobs they promised. And the owners of Cerner, Cliff Illig and Neil Patterson, had always held on to a substantial chunk of property that they'd bought out at the Bannister Mall in the run-up to that previous deal. And lo and behold, I mean, we'd heard rumblings for a while that Cerner was still interested in pursuing an office development. They have a major presence at the old Marion Lab space just across Bannister Road from there. Personally, I was a bit skeptical because they promised Wyandotte County 4,000 new jobs. I mean, how fast can this company grow? Well, obviously, they think they're going to be needing more space, and they announced the other day they got some tax credits from the state. They're still very much in the early stages of negotiating the rest of the deal, but their word is gold as far as I can tell. They are in a fast-growing field, and they believe that after the Wyandotte County fills up, they're going to need a lot more space, and they've now committed that they're going to develop that into an office park and that projected to handle an additional 15,000 workers when it's all finished.
You know, Cerner's interesting to me because they really are scattered all throughout the metro now, aren't they?
Right.
I mean, they're looking at Bannister Mall. They're at Village West. They're out south, up north in North Kansas City.
Well, they started in North Kansas City.
That's right.
They're located across the street from the North Kansas City Hospital. So that's where the headquarters is. And, yeah, you're right. They've got the North Kansas City presence. They've got the Marion Lab presence. They've got this presence that's going to be starting soon out in Wyandotte County. However, you know, again, I think because of the affordable health care and all the changes in technology and medicine, these folks have hit on a great business model helping hospitals and healthcare become a more electronic-oriented and data-oriented, and they're just doing very, very well.
You know, the Kansas City Councilman, John Sharp, who represents Southern Kansas City, said that with this Cerner development at Bannister Mall, he said, we're on the road back, And I'm guessing you'd agree.
I would certainly agree. You know,
there's been an eyesore for how long now?
Well, I think the mall itself was all but closed by the early, by at least 10 years ago.
I was going to say at least a decade,
right? And then it was kind of on limping along with maybe a couple of tenants. Then finally, it was closed for good when this previous project was being discussed. It was torn down a couple of years ago. You know, and it's also just a symbol of the decline that's occurred all over that area. And also, you know, and it's, you know, the neighborhoods certainly have been hurting because of the lack of a dynamic presence there. And hopefully, again, if the city handles this correctly, they'll be able to build on this investment by Cerner. And again, we don't know many details at all yet.
Mm-hmm.
And help to revitalize that whole area around it and make it a stronger neighborhood in South Kansas City.
You mentioned that the owners of Cerner had owned property, you know, in the area here of Bannister Mall. What's in it for them? Why would they pick Bannister Mall? Why would they scatter their operations to the winds, in a sense, in the Kansas City metro?
Well, that's a good question, Steve. They're not the most communicative folks. I mean, I haven't had an interview with Neil Patterson in at least 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
They do seem to have a commitment to the city, to at least, you know, and they certainly, like a lot of people, they have a great affection for Mr. Kaufman and his legacy.
Yeah.
That's why the Marion Lab, I think they have a kind of a personal pride in the fact that they brought that back and that they're a growing firm. I'm not sure if they have any direct connections with Mr. Kaufman, the late Mr. Kaufman, obviously. I'm not really sure what's going on here, except they really do have a commitment to Missouri and to the city, obviously they've got the engine with their growing company to be able to fulfill some of these commitments.
You know, I haven't been out to Bannister Mall in a while. That area are the buildings still standing or have they been leveled?
I think they're mostly demolished. I'd hate to tell you specifically. I haven't been out there for a while myself, but I know they tore down the old shopping center. There may be a few structures still left, but it's certainly you know, an area that is just ripe for redevelopment.
And this is going to be a sparkling new office park.
We'll
right?
know from more. Best we know. You know, it comes up. Again, we don't know a lot of specifics. All we know is that Cerner is going to acquire that land, and their grand plan is to create an office park there that will ultimately employ up to 15,000 new employees. We don't know much in the way of specifics about the architecture, the timetable, any of that yet, but that should come out in the next couple of months.
You mentioned that Cerner wants some tax credits to get this deal done. Do we know much about that yet, or is it still being, you said, still being hashed out?
Well, you know, they got the state tax credits. They have already a tax increment financing plan there that has some substantial tax incentives involved. I mean, they're definitely not going to be doing this on their own dime. They're going to be seeking help. And again, we're talking about a property that used to have a shopping center. There's a lot of extra costs involved in developing something like that. You know, so it's going to be a classic deal where the company, it's a public-private partnership is the way they like to describe it.
Okay. Let's talk IKEA. Okay. People are excited about IKEA. That's the next giant retailer set to open its doors in Merriam just off of I-35. When's that coming in? For those not familiar with IKEA, let's remind people
IKEA is this huge Swedish home furnishing store.
And they sell
stuff all over
cheap
the world.
Furniture.
Well, you know, it's inexpensive.
Okay. That's
I have several
word.
Pieces at home, and I don't want anybody out there to think I'm cheap. But
let me just remind people, you are.
But, but anyway, I mean, they're quite the phenomena. They have a lot of stores in the eastern part of the United States. They're moving into the Midwest now. They opened up a store in Denver a year or two ago. They opened up a store in Minneapolis a few years ago. So it's quite a coup in many ways for Kansas City to get this. St. Louis does not have one. And they really are, there's this phrase they like to use, destination retailer, which is a kind of business that actually draws people from substantial distances.
They'll drive just to go to the store.
They'll drive hundreds of miles, and that's no exaggeration. And this is the real deal.
It's going to open up when?
Well, I think it's a year from this fall.
So we're still
a year and a half.
Well,
they just broke ground about a month ago. I mean, they had to tear down the old, the Merriam Village Shopping Center that was there, which is a classic example of, talk about a throwaway society. They built a shopping center there that never really opened. Mm. It was supposed to have a Circuit City as its anchor tenant, and
Circuit City
went out of business.
Out. Yeah.
So this shopping center never really had any permanent tenants whatsoever. It sat there for 3 or 4 years, and now it's been demolished. It's gone. And the IKEA is going to go in that location.
Maybe the bigger question, Kevin, is what does this mean for development around the IKEA site? Do we know we expect some other folks to come in and try to glom on to some of IKEA's glow here a little bit to grab some of that market?
I know the folks at IKEA have talked to me about some of their other stores in other parts of the country really being a magnet for other development.
Yeah.
I think there will definitely be some development around this. The company that sold them the site has some parcels nearby, but not a lot of land. I mean, you know, so I'm not going to I really don't expect a huge amount of new development because it's a fairly built out area. But what's going to really help is the shopping center across the street. Again, it escapes me, but there's a Home Depot and
there's
a PetSmart.
Dick's Sporting Goods. Dick's, the movie theaters
right,
are there.
They will certainly draw a lot of ripple effect business from that. I'm sure there will be some new restaurants, possibly a hotel. You know, they say that actually in some communities, people will stay overnight at the hotel. They get a coupon deal to go shopping at IKEA the next day.
Like the Mall of America up in Minneapolis.
Kind of like the Mall, and the IKEA is right next to the Mall of America in Minneapolis.
You know, you get a sense, Kevin, again, we're visiting with Kevin Collison, who covers development for The Star. You get a sense from reading your stories of late that it seems like significant development is happening north and south and west. And I'm wondering, is it happening on the east side? Is there anything happening over there that we should be aware of? Or is that still sort of the same old story?
If you're talking about eastern Jackson County, which, you know, at least Summit's doing quite well. If you're talking about the city, I think the biggest news there that I'm aware of is there's a new Aldi store that's going to be opening up at 39th and Prospect. It's been a long time coming. The city has worked diligently to try to get that deal put together. There is some, certainly the mayor, I chatted with him the other day. He says the city's made some major investments in infrastructure. You know, it's still slow. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You know, you had that deal that the Citadel shopping center project that had been proposed for out by Bruce
Street.
Watkins
yeah.
and 63rd, that fell apart. That's vacant land now. The city owns it. You know, maybe sometime soon or not so soon, somebody will come along with an interest in developing that property. The Aldi store, you know, is certainly an improvement. The city's making a major investment in a new police campus over, you know, a little bit closer into downtown. You're not hearing about any substantial shopping centers or companies or businesses or factories or anything like that.
You know, what's interesting to me for those of us who don't live in the city, I live just in northeast Johnson County, but this idea of getting a grocery store is such a big deal. And those of us who live near them now don't really appreciate what a big deal this is.
Yeah.
But this Aldi's you're talking about on 39th and Prospect, very big deal. Kansas City, Kansas, Wyandotte County has seen a couple of new grocery stores move in. Very big deal for folks there. And it's something a lot of us don't appreciate, but it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. I mean, there's the term that they use called food desert, which is an area that's underserved by quality grocery stores. And then these are food deserts that are going to get some service, which helps the people who live there. And also helps create jobs and some economic activity.
You know, I don't mean to open up a can of worms here, but I've never understood this. If there's a market, if people are willing, need groceries, and they're willing to pay money for groceries, why do we have food deserts? I just don't quite get
We're
that.
Getting in deeper than I
yes,
can.
Yes, we are.
I wish I could help you. I'm not a sociologist.
Yeah, okay.
But it is hard to do these projects. You know, again, every time you develop anything in an existing neighborhood, it's just more expensive to do the project because it's not like, you know, out in southern Johnson County or eastern Jack or the Northland where you've just got a blank field where a soybean crop was a year before. You got to deal with all the debris and the other issues associated with whatever had been there previously. So it's a more expensive proposition.
Kevin Collison from The Stars here. He covers development. We've talked about Cerner coming to the Bannister Mall, the new IKEA store. We're going to turn to a conventional hotel and its prospects for downtown Kansas City, streetcars, and a big renovation of the old Savoy Hotel that's planned now. Kevin just had a story about that in the paper just a couple of days ago. If you want to join our conversation, please do. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address is UpToDate at KCUR.org. You can also tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. Okay, Convention Hotel downtown. You just interviewed the mayor a couple of weeks back about this issue and a whole host of other issues. You had a story in the cover of the business section about your interview with the mayor, Kevin. What's he saying right now about the prospects for a convention hotel? Where are we with that? So much talk, even burgeoning talk about the prospects for a Republican national convention here in 2016. Some of us are skeptical about it, but there's lots of talk that it's at least being considered in places beyond the borders of Kansas City. What about a downtown convention hotel?
This discussion has been going on for
years.
Excuse me, several years.
Yeah.
The previous mayor was no big fan of the idea, but the city council was wanting to keep the process going. This actually, I think, traces its roots back to maybe even Mayor Barnes. The big problem is that, yes, indeed, people in the convention business say that if Kansas City had a large, and they use the number 1,000-room hotel with a ballroom, the kind that is a convention hotel, we could get some of the bigger conventions out there that are passing Kansas City by that are going to places like Indianapolis now.
Mm-hmm.
The tough nut to crack is the fact that a developer insists that any project is going to need significant help from the government. And in this case, what's been one of the major issues is that they would want to have whatever bonds that would be issued to build this thing backed by the credit of the city. At least that's how I understand it. The city is very, very skittish about that idea. They've been burned a bit with the Power and Light District.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
The Power and Light District, most people say it's a great asset to the city, but it has not performed financially the way it was supposed to, and the city's been forced to subsidize this deal, $12 million at least a year out of the city treasury. So they're not really – there's no appetite to get back into another grand project where the city's at risk if it doesn't work the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of the dance that's been going on. There are three groups, according to the mayor, who are actively pursuing a plan right now, and the mayor has made this certainly a policy priority for him. I have talked to several people. The latest deal that the city is in discussions with, and this came from sources both inside and outside City Hall, is a plan to by Omni Hotel to do a project on the west side of the Power and Light building, the old skyscraper downtown.
Yeah.
And the Cordish Company would rehab it into apartments. Well, you know, it has not has not been publicly confirmed. And I think a big reason for it is because they're still going around on how to finance this deal and minimize the city's risk. I know that from talking to people in the world of development, there's another group that's interested in that same Power and Light building block should this Cordish Omni deal fall through. And there's another group that's interested in doing a large hotel in another section of downtown, not in that Power and Light block. There's a lot of folks that are pushing the idea. Again, the elusive situation has been coming up with a way that the city's risk would be minimized. And again, in the meantime, and this is there is a growing discussion in town, and this is I'm throwing a little bit of myself into this, of saying, well, just, you know, why do we need this grand project? There's several other people who want to do smaller hotel projects, and we'll be talking about the Savoy here in a little bit. Let them go ahead and do this. And that would sort itself out as far as conventions. But, you know, the professionals insist that you need a big hotel with a ballroom within easy walking distance of the convention center, or it just doesn't wash with convention planners.
But Bartle Hall has a new ballroom.
They do have
attached
a new ballroom
to it. And you immediately begin to wonder about this idea of, you know, why is this so complicated? Why can't the private sector simply there's either a market for this new convention hotel or there's not. Why does the city even have to be involved in terms of guaranteeing or backing anything out there?
Well, it's just, you know, again, you're right. There are folks in the private sector who are interested in hotel projects, but the kind of grand deal that includes a ballroom, and again, the ballroom seems to be a big hang-up, is too rich to be done totally privately. There have been some people who've said, well, why don't you just build a large hotel with 1,000 rooms and skip the ballroom? That would take like $30 million out of the cost, which oftentimes is kind of the gap.
Makes sense.
But they say, well, look, and just use the ballroom that's at Bartle Hall that the voters approved and was completed just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, right.
Well, then people say, well, you'll have a hotel that controls the use of the ballroom, and the city won't have the freedom to say yes or no to people because the hotel that has the control of it will have complete say over
that
who
can like
use it.
That sounds like an obstacle you could probably overcome.
There may be a hybrid down the road that ends up going that route. I mean, it's still very much, but there definitely is a constant drumbeat, and the mayor is definitely, this is one of his priority projects. So we'll see how this all shakes out.
Do you expect resolution or a way forward anytime soon on this thing? Because, again, your point that's been lingering for a few years is very
well
taken. Steve,
I could go back to the office after we're talking and there's an announcement that the mayor's reached a deal. But when I sat down with him a couple of weeks ago, he used the phrase, financing is a booger. So far they have not figured out a way to make this work without the city being too much at risk in the deal.
Okay. Again, Kevin Collison's in the house. He covers development for the Star. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address is UpToDate at KCUR.org or tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. Johnny from Kansas City, Missouri. Johnny, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Going back to the whole grocery store chat, any more insight on a Whole Foods coming into the UMKC area or all the development happening at Cleaver and Troost? Any thoughts of getting that grocery store cleaned up?
The deal at 51st and Oak is still percolating. I just talked to the developer the other day. For the Whole Foods, right over by UMKC.
Wow.
The big hang-up is they need to get access, at least that's what they say, to make it work across the trolley track, which is a really difficult thing to accomplish.
You're losing me there.
They want to build it right at the corner of, I think, 51st and Oak, and they need to have a driveway off of Brookside.
Oh,
I'm a little confused. Anyway, they need to get a driveway through.
Off of Brookside there.
Off of Brookside into it from
the trolley track.
And obviously that's a lot of people use that trolley track. A lot of people enjoy that. And it would be a real disruption if you had a driveway with people coming in and out of a Whole Foods there. There may be some other issues. I know there's a historic property there where the women's I can't remember their name, the Young Women of Kansas City, some group that goes back 100 years. They've got their offices there. They need to be relocated. But the developer says, you know, we're gradually trying to, you know, remove the obstacles to making this thing happen. As far as the project at Troost and Cleaver, I think Ollie Gates, I just drove by there on the way over to the studio this morning, and it looks like there's some work going on there.
I believe he's got a project.
I think he's pulled the trigger, and as I recall, and it's been a while since I've talked to him, that includes a renovation of the grocery store there.
Yeah, between projects like the Gates project and all the work being done on I-35, it seems to me like the whole city's under construction these days.
Because
getting in and out of downtown, of course, as
well,
you know,
that's the road work, my friend.
It's just very, very difficult to do.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of what we're talking about right now is road construction. But there is certainly, you know, after the recession, we're starting to see things coming back. We're particularly, you know, we're seeing some office buildings open up. Many of those are the result of these border war deals. They just opened up the Freightquote building the other day, and AMC just had their big housewarming party just 2 days ago with Governor Brownback. That's what's been driving some of the office construction.
And those are businesses that have flipped from one side of the state line to the other because
incentives.
Of this border war,
exactly.
economic
exactly.
development war. While we're talking about that, Governor Brownback has again, he told me a few weeks ago, he said it again the other day in town, that he's looking for a path forward to sort of end this border war. Do you see anything happening that would suggest we're coming to an end there? Because I do not.
I don't either. I know that it's easy pickings because, again, the thing that makes this so, so much more appealing, you know, is the fact that companies can take these incentives. It's free money to them, and it doesn't disrupt their employees. I mean, it's one thing to offer incentives to get a company to move here from Texas or Massachusetts because they have to think about how many of our employees will come with us. If you're moving from, you know, one side of 435 to the other side of 435, everybody can still live where they live. They can shop where they shop, and the company gets to pocket their employees' income tax.
But why is this thing so difficult for us to curtail and to get our arms around? Is it because the Kansas side appears to be winning somewhat more of the jobs? Because some calculations I've seen suggest that it's really not all that lopsided here. Maybe it is, and I haven't seen a calculation lately. But why can't the two governors just get together and say, we're done doing this. Let's go out and spend our money in a better way.
Well, Steve, I'd love to say that people, reasonable people, could sit down and figure this out.
I'm a reasonable guy.
I
can come in here and work it out.
I think Kansas has had a little bit of a edge on this. Not a huge one. I mean, this freight quote deal that Missouri got and brought over, I think, 1,200 people.
I was going to say.
A big deal. You know, my theory, and I've heard this from a couple of people in development, you know, Johnson County is the big economic engine for the state of Kansas. And when they're sitting in Topeka and they're trying to figure out how to bring in more revenues to the state of Kansas, the well-being of the Kansas City metropolitan area and the health of its central city is not real high on their priorities. They're just looking to bring as much investment into Johnson County as they can. And that kind of big picture thinking that's important to a lot of people in the Kansas City metropolitan area just doesn't play very well. Hmm. I haven't heard of any legislators on the Johnson County side saying, you know, I'm going to introduce legislation to prohibit this.
You don't hear from anybody.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just a legacy of the state divide that has always been a handicap for the Kansas City Metro.
Let's do this, Kevin. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Savoy Hotel, a feel-good story, lots of good news for a traditional Kansas City landmark, I guess, in some ways. We'll talk about the UMKC Conservatory of Music, perhaps moving downtown, Julia Irene Kaufman just forking over $20 million to make that go, and we'll talk about some other projects as well. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star. And you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. This hour, we're visiting with Kevin Collison from The Star. He covers development. We're covering all kinds of different projects around town, what's happening, getting up to speed on a bunch of things. Steve from Overland Park. Steve, you're on with Kevin Collison. Good morning.
Hi. I've been kind of following a lot of this for years. I think it started 30-some years ago with industrial revenue bonds.
The border war you're talking about. Yeah.
But I'm going to use the AMC thing as an example. Governor Brownback.
Well, Steve, give me a quick question if you would, okay?
The question is there any possible violation of federal laws to basically bribe a company to move over to a state and then allow them to keep their employees
income tax
for X number of years as a tax credit? There's got to be something illegal about that.
Yeah, that's a good.
Well, it's a good question. And, you know, the New York Times a year or so ago did a big series on all the incentives going on around the United States and how different states and communities use them. And there were a couple of lawsuits brought, I think, back east. And as I recall, the Supreme Court basically upheld the fact that states could use these incentives to attract businesses from one side to the other. But, you know, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. I don't think you're ever going to see the states and cities volunteering to surrender in this thing. I do think it would require some type of federal or federal judicial rulings on this. And I do think there is some questions. I mean, if I was a business person and I'm paying my taxes and all of a sudden my competitor gets this kind of a sweet deal by just moving across the state, there does seem to be something unfair there. Huh. But again, there have been some court cases brought. I know the Times reported that, and I think they were out east in New Jersey. I'm not quite sure. And the courts did not rule in favor of the folks who were challenging this whole thing.
Steve, thanks for the call. Sergio writes us on email at uptodate@kcur.org. I was wondering how much an IKEA would hurt Nebraska Furniture Mart's business. Nebraska Furniture Mart has had a sort of monopoly for a while now. What about that?
Well, that's a great question.
It is.
I mean, we got a couple of heavyweights. Mm-hmm. You know, the Nebraska Furniture Mart's a bit of a different – well, it's a different type of market. I mean, the thing with IKEA is it's a assemble-your-own type deal. So, and it's geared towards a lot of young families starting their first place or kids with their first apartment or their dorms. I mean, you'll buy a dresser and you see the dresser on the display floor. But then when you buy it, you go down to their warehouse and it's in a box and you take it home and it's got instructions that are dummy proof. Believe me, because I can use them. And you assemble the thing. You know, you go to Nebraska Furniture Mart and you're buying an assembled piece of furniture. It's definitely more expensive. You know, so they're very different. I guarantee you this IKEA is going to be a hit with all the kids in dorms and young people setting up apartments in the city, and that's their target market.
Kevin Havis writes this from Kansas City, Missouri. Can you talk about the MAC properties, Armor Road Development, or the multi- or single-family residential projects in Martini Corner? These are these new developments, new condos or apartments along Armor Road?
There's two different projects, and I think they're just fabulous stories for the city. Particularly Midtown Kansas City.
Maybe underappreciated a little bit, too.
Oh, God. I mean, again, okay, you got two deals here. The one on Armor, MAC Properties is a firm based in Chicago, although I think that their parent companies in New Jersey. About 5-6 years ago, these guys came in and saw these marvelous old brick apartment hotels that were built in the 20s, 30s, 40s, all along Armor Boulevard, just gorgeous buildings, and they were falling apart, and there was a lot of Section 8 housing in the ones that were still open, and this area was definitely on its way down. These guys came in and saw the real opportunity to restore these buildings in a large number of them, not just one at a time. They took on half a dozen at a time and create a whole new neighborhood, worked with the police to try to help take care of some of the social crime problems along that street, and it's been a marvelous success story. I mean, these buildings, again, I guarantee you, if these folks hadn't come in and, again, used a lot of incentives, they needed help from the Planned Industrial Expansion Authority and the city. City's been very helpful, but this could have been a real blight in the center of Kansas City, and instead it's a great place. The other project near Martini Corner is actually the final stages of the Union Hill redevelopment, which started in 1980, if you can believe that.
You know, people are always suspicious, and maybe they should be, about these incentives and tax credits. Would these projects happen without them?
No, they wouldn't. I'm sure of it. I mean, the buildings were falling apart. I mean, anybody could have bought these things at any point over the past 20 years, and nobody did, and except for some slumlords, perhaps. So we've got some incentives. My argument with folks is, yes, you have to be careful. You don't want to just throw this stuff around. But the alternative is, okay, do you want to forego some future tax revenues by helping a developer make his deal work financially? Or do you want to let these buildings fall apart? And then ultimately, they're going to be a huge social problem. They're going to be a big cost on the city anyway. And somebody finally, at the end of the day, will have to pay to demolish them. So, you know, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Faye writes us this on email. What's going on the south side of Ward Parkway Shopping Center?
Well, the folks, you know, Ward Parkway was bought a few years back. Again, this is another incentive-based deal. They created a community improvement district, and they are totally overhauling that shopping center.
That's Kansas City, Missouri.
That's the city. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Uh-huh. And I think they tore down the old Dillard's, I think, was on that side of the mall. And I think what they're doing, or there was a garage there. I don't get out there that often, but I'm familiar with it. They got a Trader Joe's. My wife drags me out there all the time. anyway, they're just basically, they tore down the old garage, and they're going to create a circular driveway around the property, because right now the problem is if you want to go to one side of Ward Parkway, you got to come in on the state line roadside.
That's true.
You want to come into the other side, you got to go through Ward Parkway.
That's
There's
right.
no way to circulate around the property. So they're trying to do that, and they're making a major reinvestment. And, you know, AMC spent a ton overhauling the movie theaters there. So that's an example, again, of a shopping center that was kind of sliding. And now it's coming back, and there's been reinvestment. And what they're seeing, I think, on that south side is just the you know, they tore down a section so they could create this drive, circular drive, so people can now go to the shopping center and not have to get back and forth off major streets to get into it.
You know, one other listener, Kevin, writes us, I want to see the Union Station turned into an arts district. But that's not going to happen now, right?
Because well,
it's an office park.
Well, Union Station is, you know, I'm sorry, I can't remember who the caller is, but there was a major overhaul project a couple of years ago when the new IRS facility was built right across the street.
Yeah.
And as part of that, they built a really nice pedestrian bridge that connects Union Station directly with the Crossroads Arts District.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in some ways, it is part of the Arts District now because it's very easy to get back and forth. And, you know, the Union Station has been bringing in a lot of different kinds of exhibits, most of them are not art exhibits, but, you know, it's a part of the cultural district now. I mean, if you want to just broaden art to just say cultural, you got Union Station connected directly to the Crossroads area via this pedestrian bridge where the arts are. And so you got some mojo going on that way.
Let's go to Matthew from Fairway. Matthew, you're on Up to Date with Kevin Collison. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just curious to get your take on the Kansas City Startup Village over near 45th and State Line. It's essentially an entrepreneur startup community helping startups get off the ground, you know, creating jobs, and really a kind of a bi-state initiative where startups and entrepreneurs can base themselves to, you know, to build businesses.
Matthew, thank you. 45th and State Line, that's the old
there's a lot of fun little places.
Fun little shops there. It's mostly antiques over there.
Yeah, it is. But Matthew's, you know, this is development in a different kind of a way. This is not so much bricks and mortar as intellectual and virtual. I mean, I love it. It's cool. It's something, I tell you, I'm a baby boomer. I talk to the young people involved in these things, and I feel like I'm hearing a different language from them. I'm happy for them. I think the city certainly put a lot of energy into trying to encourage this. This is all based on the whole Google introduction, because they're really being attracted here because of the high-speed connections with Google. God bless them. I mean, when they start talking to me about some of the apps and other types of businesses they're getting into, I just kind of go, I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
And I tried just to – but I think it's a really promising thing, and I know the city is really working hard. Again, not just the Startup Village, but getting back to the crossroads. They're trying to encourage this kind of young entrepreneurial tech-type startup going on down there. And again, the funny thing is, it's getting back to the beginning of our conversation, everybody hopes that – one of these startup operations is going to be our next Cerner.
We're talking with Kevin Collison from The Star. We're talking development today. Okay, a feel-good story now. You just wrote about the Savoy Hotel. It's going to get a big makeover. I'm guessing that's great news for the place where Harry Truman used to eat a lot of lunch,
Harry
right?
Truman Booth. God, yeah. I took my aunt and uncle from California there a few years
Gotta
ago.
They
loved it.
Got to do it.
It is, you know, if you wanted to take one place in my mind in Kansas City that just breathes the Old West roots of this town, the Savoy Grill and Hotel is the place. I mean, it's definitely tired. It's seen better days, but boy, it's still got the bones, as they like to say. That old restaurant, I sit there and I can hear the ghosts.
Yeah.
And these guys out of Louisville, 21st Century Modern Hotels, or I think it's something like that anyway, have an option to buy the property. Again, they're going to need some significant help from the city in the way of tax increment financing assistance. But they have had a real success, from what I've heard from people, taking historic properties, restoring them to historic accuracy. They're not going to take out the old grill or any of the wonderful features that make that such a historic property. But then they add a lot of contemporary art. They're very big art collectors, and they're very proud of the fact that they have substantial public space within their hotels. They got one in Louisville. They built one in Bentonville, whatever, where Walmart is.
Why does it take a group of developers from Louisville to come in to restore our old hotel? Why aren't Kansas City entrepreneurs interested in that?
Why does it take people from Chicago to do Armour Boulevard? Why does it take somebody from Louisville? You know, this is a sad deal, and I'm going to editorialize mildly. You know, we've got so many wonderful assets in our city, and it's really kind of sad that it takes people from out of town to realize that and come in there and take advantage of it. I'm not saying there aren't some great people locally who do projects, but oftentimes some of the bigger things that I write about are folks from out of town who
see
the assets
here. The Savoy Hotel and Louisville.
Yeah, I know. You know, and it's, you know, but God bless them. I mean, they're seeing an opportunity, and they've got the strong background. They're asking for the help from the city, so it is a public-private partnership if this moves forward, and they got to get approval from both the TIF Commission and the City of Kansas City before this deal actually happens. But, I mean, again, the deal is they want to turn it into a nice luxury hotel that they want to turn the Savoy Grill into a really fine independent restaurant with its own chef, and they want to display a lot of great art. They are impressed with Kansas City's reputation as a significant art center. And I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. I wish him well, because, you know, when I do these kinds of stories, it's just amazing to hear from all the, you know, longtime Kansas City residents talking about how they used to go there when they were a kid and all the rest of it. It's a great story. It really is.
Eric writes us this on Twitter. What's the latest with the mixed-use development at 47th and Rainbow? That's my neighborhood. That's the Blair Tanner redoing the Woodside.
Oh, the Woodside.
Athletic Club.
Keeps,
yeah.
You know, I've talked to him on and off now for the past couple of years. He's still planning to move forward with a project that would build a lot of apartments over there.
Condos, I think, yeah.
I don't know, condos,
maybe
apartments.
Apartments, yeah. Maybe
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think it's still alive. I know it's still alive.
It's
now,
still
when
alive.
He plans to pull the trigger and actually start construction, I don't know. I know they've just gotten done with a substantial overhaul of the health club and the pools and everything else, which is all
and there was
part
news
of this
week about a new restaurant over there.
Well, that might be part of it. Yeah, you'd have to
or something like
gee,
that.
I don't know. Call Joyce Smith, my
Joyce
colleague.
Joyce Smith
should
has
know
something
about
that in the paper. Yeah, okay. Let's go back to some phone calls here for Kevin Collison. Susan from Kansas City, good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, I would like to see light rail come to pass around here someday rather than the airport. And I know we're not discussing the airport today. So my question is, what's happening with Antioch?
The Antioch Mall?
Antioch Shopping Center north of the river.
I wish I could give you an answer. I know that the developer had incentives approved for that project. To be honest with you, Susan, I haven't been up there to see what, if any, progress has been made. I really can't tell you what the timetable is right now. I can't even tell you how far along they are on redeveloping that property. I know the city has given them everything they asked for, and I mean, I have to rely on you, I guess, to know whether they've actually done anything yet or not. And I apologize. I wish I could tell you, but I just don't know.
Well, one project that is finally underway, the Mission Gateway project at, again, sort of not far from where I live, Shawnee Mission Parkway, Johnson Drive. There's bulldozers were on the site after years of absolutely nothing happening there. This is the gateway into Mission on Johnson Drive. And finally, we're going to see something happen there. Remind us what it's going to be.
Well, this has had a long history, as
long
we all
history.
Know. Yeah, the gateway, the old Mission Mall was torn down, I think, back in 06 or 07, and it's just been a field for the past 6-7 years. The developer, a guy named Tom Valente, he's out of Syracuse, New York. I mean, they've done this on their own dime. I mean, they bought the old shopping center, tore it down. They've been sitting on this. So, I mean, they've got every reason in the world to try to get something done. They ran into a buzzsaw. They had a very ambitious plan in the beginning. It was going to be this kind of new urban style deal combination.
Maybe even an aquarium was going to
well,
go
that
there.
Well, that was the second wrinkle at this whole thing, and the recession really caused them some problems. So, all said and done, and the great irony is the linchpin that finally got this thing moving forward again is our favorite megastore out of Bentonville, Arkansas, Walmart. Now, the irony is Walmart wanted to be there back in 2003. They couldn't get a deal together. The city really didn't want them to build some big box store with a big parking lot around it.
Right.
So the new project, the new Gateway project will incorporate a more urban style, and my word, not theirs, but it's a different looking Walmart. It's actually got two levels. There'll be retail above it. There's going to be a garage in the center of the deal. There's going to be apartments along Johnson Drive. They're going to move or close the Roland Park Walmart when this is done. And that was the major breakthrough they needed to get this thing going. And there's several other stores and restaurants that are already signed on. The rumblings continue that there's going to be a movie theater complex as part of this, and maybe it's certainly not what was originally envisioned. It's not as ambitious as it was, but it is going to bring, again, and I know people have strong feelings about Walmart, but it will be a up to date Walmart for what that's worth, and it will be the
up to date,
up to date. There you go, a little plug for you, and it's going to bring housing too. I mean, people kind of forget there's going to be 300 apartments as part of this project, which for an older for a city like Mission, there's a huge trend right now where a lot of people, who live in these older communities, they're getting older. They want to sell their house, but they love the area they live in, and they're looking for a place to go. And so there are more and more of these apartment projects that are going up in some of these first ring suburbs, older, and even out in the newer suburbs in southern Johns County, Eastern Jack, where if you want to sell that house you raised your kids in, and you're tired of mowing the lawn and all the rest of it, but I love my area.
That describes me to a T.
I know, and so they can move into an apartment in this Gateway project and then shop at Walmart.
Well, Kevin, always good to have you here. Thanks for the
pleasure.
Update on all this good stuff. So good to have you.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
That's Kevin Collison. He's the development reporter for the Kansas City Star.